At this time, I'm going to ask our ushers to begin passing out our handouts. As I mentioned before Mass began, we're taking this opportunity to give you a little update on our church renovation project. It's really the first time we talk about it from the pulpit. I don't intend to talk about it every week from the pulpit, but just, you know, this is part of being a pastor and part of being a church parish. We gotta talk about what's happening. So I want to give you a little context first. Whenever I first was assigned to St. Leo, it was about 3 years ago, and before I even showed up, I went to lunch with Father Doubt. Many of you remember Father Doubt, the previous pastor, who had really started a lot of really good programming in the parish and started to build up parish life, and I was really excited just to kind of pick up where he left off. So we went to lunch, and he kind of filled me in with a lot of the things that he had been up to in the parish, and I got to ask him a million questions. What are the people like? What's the parish staff like? What, you know, what is Mass like at St. Leo? And, you know, what are some of the hopes and dreams for the future of St. Leo? And et cetera, et cetera. And I learned a lot, and I got really excited to come here and meet you guys. And during our conversation, one thing that he showed me was actually architectural plans for a church renovation. I thought, wow, you've made a lot of progress. I was really impressed. And those plans were really beautiful, and he told me that so far at that point, he had only shown the trustees. So he really didn't show a whole lot of people yet. He was just doing kind of the groundwork in the beginning, just looking far enough in the future to say, like, that was kind of on the radar for something that he would like to, and that the parish would like to see in the future. So I took that, and, you know, I thought to myself, well, I'm definitely not going to start with that whenever I come to St. Leo. Maybe I'll start with, you know, if you remember, my first homily was about what's your name. I need to like get to know y'all first and develop relationships. And in the past 3 years have been such a huge blessing for me as a priest, particularly to be here with each of you. And we've done a lot in 3 years. We've really just taken the momentum that previous pastors have started, and we've just started running. Externally, facilities-wise, you know, we bought the office across the street and have more of a hospitable place to welcome people during the week. We renovated the hall. And now the hall is a place that, you know, a lot of friendships and are formed and community is developed. The hall is used all of the time. There's always something going on in there. The small group room was kind of renovated as well. So we have little Bible studies and other little groups that meet in there often. Since then, we've added certain sacred art in the church. So we added the crucifix by popular request. We added the Mary and Joseph statues as well. We added these paintings in the middle of Divine Mercy and Our Lady of Guadalupe, just trying to enhance some sacred beauty in here. Interiorly, though, meanwhile, we were also developing our mission and values. And our mission to bridge heaven and earth has really started to kind of come alive, that when you're here at St. Leo, we want it to be an experience that's different than your daily life. We want it to be a taste of heaven while you're still on earth. We've done that in three ways. First, to rest in Jesus. That's our first value, and that really goes well with our readings today. From John 15, whenever Jesus says, to remain in me as I remain in you. Of course, we know that's easier said than done. It's very difficult to remain in Jesus, but the primary way we try to do that here is to through prayer, through worship, and especially through adoration. And the depth of the spiritual life that you have in so many ways grown, and that I've been able to witness so many of you grow interiorly. It's not measurable, but I can see it. I can see you growing in your faith, and your hearts are changing, and that's what resting in Jesus is all about. The second value, to build community, you know, to develop authentic Christian community, good, strong friendships, to surround yourself with people that that can support you in your daily life and that can love you as God loves you. And that's particularly happening through our small groups. But also through lingering after Mass, it's really beautiful that after Mass you see so many people just kind of take their time to get to their car. They want to visit. They want to keep these relationships alive and developed. Certainly our church hall has helped with that as well. And third, to show mercy. And it's so important to us that we're not just serving ourselves. As we worship the Lord and develop these friendships, we need to share what we've received. And so we often have people come to us with needs, and we as a parish do our best to help people that are in need, particularly if it's financial or if it's just prayer and giving them human dignity by spending time with them. And even as a parish, we try to just go out and find people that are in need and serve them. So it's really been a beautiful experience. About, I guess, 2 years ago, we started talking about this idea of an adoration chapel. And that just kind of came out of nowhere, but, you know, the Holy Spirit just put it on our hearts, and the money started coming in, and we very quickly built an adoration chapel and opened it on the Feast of Corpus Christi during the Eucharistic revival. It was really beautiful. If you haven't seen our chapel, I know I'm biased, but I'll just own it. I believe it's the most beautiful adoration chapel in the town. I think it's absolutely stunning. And oftentimes people tell me, whenever they're in there, their experience of prayer is so much richer. There's something about the beauty of that chapel that does something to people. It draws them deeper. St. John Paul II wrote a letter to artists during his pontificate. One of the things he said to the artist was that beauty enthuses man for work. Beauty enthuses man for work. And he was very intentional with his word there. Enthuse, the etymology of that word, en theos. En meaning to fill with, and theos meaning God. So enthuses, to fill with God. Beauty, there's something about beauty, about sacred beauty, that fills us with God and inspires us for work. Particularly, first and foremost, the work of God, the Opus Dei of prayer and worship. Prayer and worship is work, and this is divine work. And whenever there's sacred beauty around us, as in that, particularly the Adoration Chapel, it disposes our hearts and inspires us, ready for prayer, ready to worship the Lord. But not just prayer and worship, also human labor. We have the Feast of St. Joseph the Workers coming up this week. Bishop Desitel wanted to remind us and celebrate the fact that it's not just a liturgical feast day, but also a legislative civil holiday in the state of Louisiana. And human labor is important. And all of us daily experience the grind and toil of human labor. But there's something about exposing ourselves to beautiful, sacred realities that inspire us and motivate us to go out and work, particularly the works of mercy, to share the works of charity with those in need. So all of that is part of why why we want to move forward with this renovation. Really, our churches should be as beautiful as we can reasonably make them, right? So not every parish is in the same financial situation, but as reasonable as possible, we should be making our churches as beautiful as we reasonably can. Why? Because churches are both an image of the past and a sign of the future. An image of the Old Testament temple, and even that was an image of the Garden of Eden, where God and humanity were totally united. There was a perfect order and harmony with God and all of creation. Of course, sin has destroyed that, and now it's a world of chaos and disorder. But the temple was a way in which God was educating his people to bring them back to harmony with him. And if you look in Scripture, there's very specific ornate instructions on what the temple was supposed to be, what it was supposed to look like. Churches today are supposed to fulfill and transcend the Old Testament temple, but also point towards the heavenly temple, or you could say the heavenly Jerusalem. Our destiny in heaven, again, you can see in the book of Revelation, is filled with very ornate, specific imagery of where we're headed. And it's filled with a lot of beauty. So our churches today, we're in between the past and the future. We're in between, we want to pull forward the past, and we want to pull backward the future for the sanctification now. Churches bridge heaven and earth and make our destiny present to us. So that's just a little bit of a context and primer for why this project is important to us. You can see in your pamphlet, the first page gives you a little history. This used to be an Episcopalian chapel, and it used to be across town. And I don't know how they did it, but somehow in the 1950s, they picked it up and they brought it over here. And that is just incredibly fascinating to me. I just don't know how they did it. Now, the church wasn't as big yet. It went about halfway down, and that was the entrance to the church, kind of where our images are, halfway down the nave. And then in 1960s, 1980s, there's been some updates to bring it forward. But really, since the 1980s, there have not been any substantial changes to our church. One of the things we want to do is add an exterior expansion. So at the front of our church, we want to expand it forward into that front sidewalk about halfway down so that we have a big open area called a narthex. And the narthex will serve a twofold purpose. One, it's a place where people can visit both before and after Mass, but as they visit, now they don't have to visit in church. And we talked about it a lot. We kind of struggle here because I love the fact that people love each other and want to visit, and I want us to build community. But it's a struggle sometimes because people also want to pray before and after church. And so it just becomes a little bit awkward whenever the weather's bad and you can't go visit outside. So that's the first purpose of the narthex. It's a place for people to gather and visit before and after Mass to develop that organic Christian community. But secondly, is for a larger experience of a place for families with small children whenever their small child is just not in a good mood or is just especially energetic. And it gives them a place to be for temporarily before they come back in and join us, but we'll have TV monitors in the narthex as well as see-through doors and speakers, so they can still be a part of Mass while they're trying to get their kid, under control. And I think it's beautiful. We have an increase in families with young children, and I want to keep that. I want to encourage that. Our current cry room right now is, have you ever been in there? It stinks. It just smells. There's something going on in there. I don't know what it is. We've tried everything. So we're ready to gut that, and that's going to become indoor bathrooms. And then the exterior expansion will be kind of like that new place for families to be when they need it. Those are a couple of different things. Also, if you turn the page, you'll see the interior. We want to continue to add sacred beauty to our interior, and there's a number of additions there. In particular, we'll add some statuary. So the crucifix in the middle of the high altar, and then you have the statues of St. John the Apostle and St. Mary Magdalene on each side. They were both with Jesus at the crucifixion. And then St. John Paul II and St. Teresa of Calcutta on the outside of them. Those saints just being really particularly special to our spirit here at St. Leo. Our current Mary and Joseph statues will remain, but they're just going to go over here in these little side. Right now they're windows. So you have a St. Joseph window on this side, but that's just going to become a St. Joseph like shrine, or we'll just put like side altar where we put St. Joseph's statue there. And the same thing with the Mary window here, we'll bring the Mary statue there. The current Mary alcove right here on my right will become the entrance to a confessional. And our current confessional is a little claustrophobic to some, and it's not very easy for the elderly, especially if they have a walker, to get into our confessional. So we want to make it more handicap accessible and more spacious than hospitable. And then on this side, the little alcove, currently we have a little image of St. Leo in a frame, but we want to make that St. Josephine Bakita statue and shrine. When you turn the page, you'll see some more images of the narthex, how there's just a lot of space. You'll see notice the TV monitors and the see-through doors. But the doors will be quiet so that they don't slam like our current ones do every time someone walks in. And so there's just more of a space there. Also, you'll see St. Leo statue at the top there in the narthex, just to honor our patron. And then you see the estimated cost. So the cost total is $2 million. We have a couple of options. We could do two phases, one phase of $1 million and the next phase of another $1 million. Or we could do it all at once. And it's really just up to you guys and up to the Holy Spirit, whatever the Lord's timing. I really believe God's timing is perfect. Back in the day, all these beautiful cathedrals that you see all around the world, those took like generations to build. Like, you know, they would get started on a project and then like their grandchildren would be the ones that finally experienced the finish of that project. So, I hope it doesn't take us generations to get this far, but we'll just go however fast or slow the Lord wants it. But I'm excited to report that we're a third of the way there. We've already got a third of the cost in hand right now. So what we're looking for now is pledges. What we're looking for is excitement. What we're looking for is positive chatter. Use your connections, people that maybe not even go to this parish, tell them about how important this project is to us. Help us spread the word. If you're able to give us some extra funds, we would be especially grateful. If you don't have the extra funds now, maybe you consider making a pledge to donate a little while later. Maybe you're thinking, well, my dollar's not going to mean anything because I'm not particularly, I don't particularly have a lot of money. But, you know, all of us play a role here. And even just a little bit goes a very long way, especially in time. So I want to thank those that have already gotten us to this dollar amount. Thank you to everyone that's participated so far. This is just a little update of where we are. And this Thursday is South Louisiana Giving Day. So, SOLA Giving Day. So please remember us as you consider donating to different nonprofits around our area, and please continue to pray for the success of our great revival inside and out. Amen.